I like the phrase kick ass in elections. That's definitely what I'm looking forward to. Local ones in Germany, national ones in the Netherlands, national ones in Bulgaria, local elections in Italy, local elections in France, Portugal, Denmark, Estonia, UK probably, national elections in Germany. All these elections we're going to participate in, and I hope that we're going to kick ass in all of them.
World Europa presents
Calling Europe, the first pan-European speed podcast.
Hi everyone, I'm Karam.
And I'm Eileen.
And this is Calling Europe, the speed podcast in which we interview people from the pan-European movement Volt and tell you their personal stories.
We believe that European issues can only be solved by thinking on a European scale and acting locally, and would like to show you what it means to be politically active in our movement.
Okay, so today we have two very special guests, our co-presidents Valerie and Reinier. We also have a special episode for you where we're going to do a 2020 year review, even though we're a little bit late with it. So welcome, Valerie and Reinier. Really nice to have you here.
Yeah, super nice to be here. Thanks.
Thanks. Good to be here.
For this episode, we have the same sections that we always have, starting with the profile, where we ask basic questions about our guests, then moving on to our three questions, where we ask some more specific questions about things that our guests have experienced or the way they think about and feel about things. And finally, we're going to have the song nomination, where our guests can add a song of their liking to our Spotify playlist.
Let's start with a check-in. We actually want to experiment a little bit with you guys and start each episode with a short check-in question. Eileen, you want to ask it?
So our check-in question today, as our little experiment here, is going to be, what is the oldest memory that you can recall? Meaning in your personal life, anything that you can remember as sort of the first thing that you really remember consciously experiencing or thinking.
We had a lot of fun coming up with this question.
Yeah, it's a very casual check-in question, easily answered. I'll just start. I'm actually not sure, but I think one definitely very old memory would be I really remember the feeling I always wanted to have a dog. Like I just always always wanted one. And I wasn't allowed one, but my godfather had one. And so I kind of feel like I remember, even as a super little child, me driving up with my parents to my godfather and really being uber excited to see not my godfather, but his dog and take him out.
And you have one now.
I do have one since last year. Yeah.
Yeah. Milestone. Life goal achieved.
It is life goals though. It is.
Yeah. That resonates with Eileen, doesn't it?
What about you, Anya?
Okay. I knew this question was coming, and I have been thinking about this for 2 weeks, and I have no idea. I've been fascinated by this question, because how do people know what their oldest memory is? Because when I'm young, people tell me stuff that I have done, or I've seen pictures of something, and then I just remember seeing that picture or remember somebody telling me that story. So I have no idea. And I always find it weird that other people do know this. But so I thought to myself, okay, I can make up this beautiful fairy tale story of my oldest memory.
Such an authentic podcast here.
Then I had too many things to do, so I lacked creativity. So then I'll just tell you the story that my family would often tell, is that I have had a really strong sweet tooth. So when I was little, I only wanted sweets and stuff. And when I celebrated my very first birthday, they gave me a piece of chocolate cake with one raspberry on top. I love raspberries now, but at the time it was fruit and I didn't like fruit. I only wanted chocolate and candy. So I started crying real bad until they moved the raspberry. So, I'm not sure whether I really remember this, but you have this picture of me sitting in front of a big chocolate cake, or relative to the size of me being one, a big chocolate cake, and then crying because one candle and one raspberry.
But you were one at that stage?
Yeah.
You turned four. Yeah. Wow. It's pretty strong feelings against for 1 year-old raspberries.
Aileen, do we want to answer the question too?
Yes.
I think we should. You start, kind of.
Okay, I'll start. Actually, I think just for context, I think I came up with this question like 10 years ago or something. I was talking to my best friend, and I think so since then, I think at some point I had one oldest memory, and then later as I thought about it more and more, I remembered another older memory. And it was basically in our house or in my grandparents' house in Aleppo. Because when we first moved to Aleppo with my family, we stayed at their place. And I just remember my parents had bought me this like this really cool airplane. I think it was an Airbus that you could just turn it on and it would just drive, and it was like it looked exactly like it was on a runway, and I used to like turn off the lights and just walk behind it as a little boy, and I had a huge fascination for machines and airplanes and like, how do you say Kran, Eileen? Cranes, for example, too. Like, for example, fun fact, my very first word that I ever said when I was a kid was Kran. Imagine Kran, which is the German word for crane. And it's not the most, it's not the easiest word to pronounce for a kid with the K and K, but it's still, yeah. And now I'm a mechanical engineer since six months. So what did Steve Jobs say? Don't connect the dots looking forward, connect the dots looking back, right?
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. Life is lived forward, but understood backwards.
Exactly.
Let's not do that with the chocolate cake story.
Exactly.
Yeah, I'm afraid mine is not so exciting. I just remember at some stage looking at a picture in a family photo album and like realizing that I was conscious at that moment, because I remember thinking as my dad was taking the picture, I was like wearing this really cute dress, like, and I was like 3 or something. And I was holding a piece of paper from my dad's office and I held it. And I remember thinking, I should look like a lady. And I put like one finger up, just my pinky. And there's this picture somewhere. And I remember thinking, my God, I felt so grown up in that moment. I was like, here you go, driver's license. But it was this pinky move. I don't know. In the pictures somewhere, I must find it and show you guys it.
I'm impressed that you know that at such a young age.
I feel like I know nothing about my childhood from then on. It's like, quick thought, and then I forgot everything.
All right, let's move on. We had a really long check-in part. So yeah, Eileen, I think you're up next doing the intro for the profile. So now jingle for the profile. Dun, 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 the profile.
Do, 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 do.
The profile.
Question number one. Okay, we will start with Valerie. Where in Europe do you live, Valerie?
In Berlin.
Okay, nice. And where do you live, Rainier?
Amsterdam.
Valerie, when did you join Vault?
In summer 2017.
What about you, Rainier?
It was a rainy Saturday on December 9, I think. December 9, 2017.
Wow.
Very precise.
You know the exact hour. Have you been like putting, counting the days on your wall, you know, putting a little stick on your wall for every day you've been a member of Vault?
Not really, no. I remember because I once used it in a speech. That's why, and then I looked it up.
Nice. Okay, Valerie, what is your job at Vault?
Good question. I would say get us on track for the 2024 European elections.
Nice. And Rainier, what is your job at Vault?
Well, I thought I was just going to answer co-president, but I would answer, in addition to that, to Valerie, I think giving direction to the movement, growing the European team, and doing political representation externally.
And just FYI for all the external guests listening to our episode, Valerie and Rainier are our co-presidents, and they're both part of the, and Eileen is also part of the board, so which is why we have a pretty nice round today with people who see each other quite often.
Only via Zoom. We never meet in real life.
Exactly. Story of Vault, actually. Not even of COVID.
And our last question for the profile is, where is your favorite place in Europe? Rania, do you want to start?
There's so many awesome places, but I'm going to go for one, which is called Domburg. It's a small village in the south of the Netherlands where, since I was a kid, I go each summer on a summer holiday. So it's not the most beautiful place in Europe, but it is, for me, the one with a large chunk of the best memories.
And the least fruits.
No raspberries in Domburg.
They don't have any raspberries.
Valerie, I think I know what Valerie's favorite place is, but what's your favorite place in Europe?
Could you go first then?
Italy.
Florence in Italy.
I would have thought Bologna, but close enough. Oh, really? I thought you studied in Bologna.
In Florence and Siena.
Oh, whoops. Close enough. Okay, then now comes a jingle. Three questions.
Three questions.
The three questions.
Up next, we have our three questions for our guests. Karam, do you want to start with the first one?
Question number one.
Yeah, let's do that. Okay, so what was a moment in which you realized Volt was becoming an established organization? Let's maybe start with Rainier.
Yeah, cool question. There's a few of these sort of hinge moments where all of a sudden we grew a lot. And for me, that started in the Netherlands when we first hit a newspaper article and we all of a sudden got a big influx of new members, or when we founded the party. And when I quit my job to focus full-time on Volt together with Laurens Dasse, who's currently the lead candidate for the Dutch elections, we would often play the game the hypothetical question, what if we both die in a car accident at this specific point in time? Will Volt still exist 1 year after that? And in the beginning, we answered that question with no. But I think we are definitely at a stage where we can full on say yes to that question. Nice. On a lot of national levels, but also on the European level. So that's been one of our goals over 2020, to make sure that we can build an organization that's not dependent on the impact or the participation of a few, but that it's strong and resilient because of the impact and participation of many.
It actually reminds me a little bit of the European report. We got to this point this year with Michael, as soon as we had found Daniel and Paula, who are now leading the European report team. And I think there's nothing more satisfying than seeing seeing basically this organization or this team that you set up, or this machine that you set up at some point, to get back to my childhood references, running autonomously at some point. So yeah, can absolutely relate. How about you, Valerie?
For me, it would be the founding of Volt Deutschland as an actual party, as a registered party, in January 2018, really cold, rainy weekend in Hamburg, and around 30 German Volters met in this little room, and the pictures looking back look really messy and not very historic at all, I think that was the moment when I realized, wow, this is real, we have founded a party. And no one really reported on it apart from a local news outlet in Hamburg, which was a bit sad. But we obviously changed that later on.
I really wish that you guys would talk more about what happened, like how Volt developed, because I think so many people that are now joining or joined in the last year have no idea just how young we are. And I see it with a couple of new volunteers joining in Frankfurt, for example, that join and are extremely surprised at the level of organization and professionalism that we have in comparison to, I guess, what they maybe have seen with other new political parties or would expect from us. So it's quite amazing, and always cool to hear how much has happened. So I think if you guys wanted to talk about that more, I'm sure a lot of people would be really interested in hearing how we got here.
If I connect that question to the previous one, there's actually been a few of those moments. And one of those moments is when at the General Assembly in Amsterdam, which was at the 28th of October in 2018. So we had this General Assembly with about 500 participants. And that for me was the first time that I saw things going on within Volt Netherlands that I wasn't aware of. So all of a sudden there was a team of volunteers doing something. And I had never met those people and I didn't even know what they were doing, but they were obviously doing something important for the GA. And then I realized, oh, whoa, we're at a next stage where it is not only through people that all know each other personally, but it's expanded a circle further. One other big moment for me was during the European Parliament elections. I sometimes thought, if we do not make it, and I was mainly focusing on the Netherlands at the time, I was lead candidate for the Dutch elections, for the European Parliament elections in the Netherlands. So that's why this part of the story for me is mainly focused on the Netherlands. But I thought to myself, when we don't make it, that will probably mean the end of Volt in the Netherlands, because there's so much enthusiasm now and there's so many people giving all they've got in order to get there. Then if we don't make it, then all that enthusiasm will probably just slow down and people will be disappointed. What I didn't realize is that for a lot of people, the last month of the elections was the first time that they actually encountered Volt and that they actually heard about our story, about our policies, about our vision, and got inspired with that. So instead of 100 people or 200 people being burned out after having running a marathon until the election, there was actually a group of 500 to 1,000 people calling me the day after, not all calling me, but I literally had a phone call the day after of people saying, okay, what do we do now? Should we plan this and that too? And I was like, oh, dude, give me a break. But but there were so many people with extra enthusiasm that instead of slowing down, we actually doubled down on our efforts. And I also see that happening now with the elections coming up and also in other countries. It is not that sometimes our vision and our dream doesn't resonate with people. It's mainly that they just haven't found out about it yet. So, these are two extra additional remarks I wanted to make. Valerie, perhaps you have something to add as well.
Yeah, I think just looking back, it's super crazy how far we've come, because to be very honest, I mean, at the time when we started, I was 25 and I didn't have a clue what I was doing. And I think I don't want to speak for other people, but I do think they felt similar, not the same. And I mean, just thinking back of like, okay, what do you need if you found a party? You need statutes. Okay, so how do you go about it? And it's like, it's all these little things where one would think it's, you know, there needs to be a mastermind behind this or someone who has all this experience or whatnot. But I think it's really cool how far you can come with a bunch of motivated people who are not scared of anything and who just think and are not scared of thinking. Because to be honest, I think, it's obviously good not to reinvent wheels and see what's out there. But at the same time, like the whole world and our whole society is just, it's by chance that it's also kind of developed the way it has, right? Because people have constructed it. And in the end, we are all kind of, we can be masters of what we create. So I think that that's pretty cool to realize.
Yeah. And I think like on a personal level, I think really the thing that I appreciate the most about Volt is that it kind of brings a certain kind of entrepreneurial thinking, an entrepreneurial mindset. Like, hey, we can all do stuff. We can all just come up with ideas and actually implement them thanks to this Europe-wide infrastructure that we have, and people who also have this drive and also want to do stuff and are also motivated to do this thing, this stuff. And without that, I think Europe Cares would not have happened. I think that's really exactly this kind of ideas, this kind of projects where you just go like, hey, let's like send 20,000 masks to Moria, and then a couple of months later, you're looking at millions.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think it's so important, and it inspires so much that we just dream about the future, right? We just think of how, what is it what is the world that we want to live in? And in the end, it's so important that we have these images, because otherwise, what are we working for, or what are we living for in this life, right? Like, I mean, creating something. And yeah, so it's so important and cool that one can inspire, like empower oneself and others to do that.
Yeah, and to add on to that, this is indeed a perfect example, and there are many of them. But I've also often asked myself the question, what am I doing? What am I doing? Especially in the beginning, what is going on? Also, because you have this big vision of wanting to change the world, and then, or at least wanting to change Europe, and then instead of doing cool things, you're also doing cool things, but you're also making sure that when you're removing a poster at the end of an event, a poster with an explanation on what Volt is, that the tape doesn't rip the poster, because you have to use it again next time. Those kind of things are also part of it. And then while I was doing those things, I sometimes asked myself the question, okay, is this, what relevance does this have, and what impact would it ultimately lead to? And what I find an inspiring and motivating thought is that actually in so many different places in Europe, people are doing the same. And the beauty of being in a position that we are in is that now I can see how all those small efforts combine up to something that is larger than the sum of all the parts that add up to that. And that it actually leads to a lot of impact, and that you can see what Damien is doing in the European Parliament, and how we are achieving positive impact with Europe Cares at the same time. So there's an awesome element there as well.
Question number two.
Now let's move on to our second question, which brings us back to, well, the near past or the present. What was your biggest personal success last year in the dreadful year of 2020?
So my personal success, it's obviously related to Volt, because Volt plays a very important role in my life, and a lot of my time goes into it. I think a lot of the things that I'm proud of that we've achieved this year are, indeed, it's kind of cliche, but they really are team efforts, with all the social innovation campaigns, the different elections that we participated in with success also, and the fact that we really had a year of consolidating, improving, and innovating our movement. I think that's something that is a team effort, but that is something that I'm most proud of. If you really look at the personal aspect for me, I mean, when I became the co-president, it was a responsibility that weighs on me, to be honest. I was sometimes very stressed out and afraid whether I would be good enough to steer our movement in the right direction and to really live up to the expectations of myself, but also the expectations of the people around me, and to the high ambitions, especially the high ambitions that we've set together with the GA. Can I live up to that? And I think I've grown in that. In the beginning, there were definitely things that I have done awfully wrong, but I do feel that I'm becoming more comfortable as a leader. And the COVID crisis has made our year, I think, our previous year for Volt, but also personally, a lot tougher. It's hard to work together with people that you almost never see face to face. It's hard to not have the inspiring general assemblies that give you such, or at least give me such a huge boost that I want to continue for another 3 years, and I need less sleep because I am like, oh wow, these people are amazing and this is so cool and I love what I'm doing. That's what happens to me after a European GA, and we didn't have any of those. So I think my biggest personal success would be the fact that we've managed to steer Volt through the COVID crisis, at least the first year of it, and that I think I've grown as a leader.
I don't really know what to add, because I completely, like, all of the points you made about the GA, for example, I completely feel that. And I feel like a lot of people are sort of waiting for the next GA to happen, and until then, just like holding on and trucking along, because I mean, I personally pulled so much energy from the energy of other people at GAs, because it's just such an amazing, just an amazing dynamic and atmosphere. What about you, Valerie?
So success in Volt last year. Okay. I think, yeah, can repeat what Rainer said, in the sense that it's an awesome feeling to see what a great team we have at European level, how everyone works together with a great attitude towards, like, there is no problems, there is challenges, and we can overcome them together. And I think this is exactly why we're all here, because that's all the fun. I think personal, to me, one thing that if we go 4 years back, when I actually started off in Volt, I actually didn't know that the extent of gender inequality, and I didn't know what women empowerment meant, and I didn't know what it means to take other women along and be a coach or be there for them and so on. And at some point, I definitely made so many experiences in that field that I made it one of my kind of missions to say, okay, you know, we will be the party that at some point will have 50% women in, and we will be the party that will reach out to women and empower them and get them in team lead positions. And so for me, looking back, I think a personal success is that women empowerment is always on top of my to-do list, and I do really try to reach out to women every single week and empower them. And I think partially I achieved it.
Do you want to mention where you were before you came into the recording of the podcast?
Oh my God. I was at my desk, but in a virtual ladies' lunch. So we established the ladies' lunches in the German team 2 years ago, I think, just with the aim to say, you know, we create a format where there's no agenda. It's simply just a format for women where they can engage and exchange inside and outside of Volt, and no strings attached. It can be a casual conversation, but it can also maybe be the first real touch point to Volt and to meeting women in Volt, and see if it's something for you. And it worked out really well. And now we've brought it to the European level, which is awesome. So we can really connect women Europe-wide. And we're doing this once a month now. Yeah.
Actually, on the day that I was told about Volt by a school friend, it was funny because I was like not so keen, because I wasn't aware and I didn't know, because I was quite sheltered or just not like oblivious, I guess, to things regarding like sexism against women and subtle things. So I was like, why do we need women's quota? So I was at that stage. And I remember saying that to that person, like, okay, so what does Volt say about quotas and stuff? And obviously it's in our mapping of policies, and thank God it is, like, now. But I remember him just saying, like, oh yeah, you should talk to Valerie. And I was like, okay, I guess I'll talk to Valerie. So I thought that was funny to add that was one of the first things that I heard about Vault, is I should talk to Valerie about like women and inequality. So here we are.
Yeah, and I may also add at this point that right at the beginning of this call, I mentioned that I think about 50% of the times I've seen Valerie in real life was had something to do with the ladies' lunch, because last time she came to Stuttgart, where I'm actually sitting right now, she had also organized the ladies' lunch, and I think it's really inspiring. I'm a really huge fan of this initiative, of this leadership that you're taking, and of this responsibility, and I'm really thankful for having leaders like you who are taking up this role and this responsibility. So thanks a lot for that.
What I would have wanted to add to the women empowerment kind of topic is that what I always found awful is like, or when I started off, I didn't know that I was a feminist, because in my mind, feminism was like something to do with quota, and then you were definitely the victim, and I didn't want to be the victim.
Yeah.
Mm. And what I actually learned through Volt that this is not true, and I mean, I'm not going to go into this whole discussion now, but I think what I really love about Volt is that we managed to not have a discussion where it's women against men or anything like that, or where it's where talking about this has an awkward feeling, but it's everyone sees themselves naturally as people who you know, who acknowledge there is a structural problem in our society, and let's just change it, because in the end it's not just only gonna be turn out positively for women, but just as much for men, because I mean, kind of it hampers the whole of society. Mm. And I'm so fascinated by this process of socialization, where you have this topic and you're first like, no, this has nothing to do with me or nothing, or no. And then you experience it and you talk with people and you get familiar with it, and you lose the fear from it, like over it. And so just something that I wanted to share, because it's nice to see.
Question number 3.
So let's move on to the last question, which would be, what are you looking forward to this year in 2021?
This year, I think that definitely what I'm most looking forward to is hopefully our physical General Assembly in autumn. Honestly, because I think it's so, I mean, it's like, working for Volt is great. I mean, there's also some things that are sometimes a little tiring, I mean, to be totally honest, but there's like always like this great spirit that lifts you up when you meet Volters. And I think this is really what's been largely missing last year. So I'm totally looking forward to that. I'm also really looking forward to kick ass in all elections that we are running in this year across Europe. And I think we really will, starting off with the Netherlands, but yes. Definitely Reinier can say about it. And on a personal level or non-Volt related level, I've just become an auntie, which is crazy.
Oh, congrats. Congratulations.
Congratulations. Yeah, cool.
Thanks a lot for your answer, Valerie. How about you, Reinier?
I like the phrase kick ass in elections. That's definitely what I'm looking forward to. Local ones in Germany, national ones in the Netherlands, national ones in Bulgaria, local elections in Italy, local elections in France, Portugal, Denmark, Estonia, UK probably, national elections in Germany. All these elections we're going to participate in, and I hope that we're going to kick ass in all of them. So that's something that I'm really looking forward to. I have this small dream of us getting more seats in the Dutch parliament than the right-wing nationalistic populistic party that used to be very big, now became smaller. If we become bigger than them, then it's like that would be so fantastic. But besides that, on a personal level, I really, really want to go dancing and drink a beer in a pub with my friends. So that's what I'm on a personal level really looking forward to this year. Somewhere later this year, I want to go to a pub and afterwards go dancing. I'm okay with waiting to going to a pub if we just kick ass in elections.
Yeah, nice. That's definitely something to look forward to. And Eileen, how about you? What are you looking forward to this year? I mean, I think it would be really cool also to share our perspective on this. I would be really interested in hearing that.
Definitely, like, because in Frankfurt we have elections going on right now, and they're very, very stressful, as all elections always are when you're involved. So I look forward to those being over, actually, and like in a positive way. Like, it's cool now, but I look forward to some, you know, more sleep and stuff. I definitely look forward to seeing more Volters, like hoping that some Volters get vaccinated soon, or, you know, so at least some can get together and you can all see some. I think it'll be really tough. I'm not expecting to really get into or have a big group come together. But we'll see. I'm pretty open. I have no expectations for this year. I've learned from last year.
What about you, Karam?
What I'm looking forward to the growth of the different projects that I'm still involved in Volt. So in Europe Cares. I think we're going on a really interesting path right now with the fundraising team, where we have some new people. And I actually just realized yesterday how, and also in connection with what we were just saying right now, it is true that on one hand, it is kind of challenging that we can't see each other, and these physical GAs were always a huge motivation booster and a breeding ground for projects, for collaboration and all of that stuff. But at the same time, I think that COVID also has brought some chances for us. Before COVID, we already were a very, very digitalized movement. And in terms of political innovation, I think that is already something that that is really, really, really special. And when I talked to a friend a couple of days ago who is very active, he comes from Iraq, he got the German citizenship last year, and he's who's always been like a person that I respect a lot for his engagement and for how open and diverse he was and how and all the projects he did. And when I told him about the stuff that we're doing, still doing virtually with Europe Cares, with Volt, all of that stuff, he was super, super thankful. And he was like, that's amazing. That's really amazing. And I've been waiting for this kind of opportunity because I've been feeling alone because I've moved to a new city lately and haven't really had the opportunity to meet people. I've been missing that. And he came to a call yesterday and he was super, super happy about it. And I think that is something that we can definitely tap into. So I'm looking forward to maybe combining the first fruits that we can harvest from being able to meet again and see each other, but also maybe trying to learn and implement our lessons from this COVID episode that we had. And of course, seeing you guys again, and I'm looking forward to that beer, Eileen, that you owe us. We're not gonna comment on that. We're not gonna get deeper. But I'm definitely looking forward to seeing everyone again. I mean, I think that's really something that is very, very valuable and that will do us good.
And to see Eileen in the Stadtrat in Frankfurt.
Yes, Eileen in the Stadtrat.
Absolutely, absolutely. Eileen in the Stadtrat, yes. Okay, we're done with three questions. Thanks a lot. I think we have amazing, amazing answers and really, really nice points. I think we can go much, much deeper into so many things, but it's supposed to be a speed podcast, so we're not going to stretch that. Let's move to the next part, which is the song nomination, where each of you get to choose a song.
Your favorite song.
However, for this episode, we thought we'd do something different. because you guys are such amazing people and have so much talent, we decided we would want to give you the chance to possibly sing a little bit of your favorite song.
No! Instead.
And then you can add it to the playlist.
Yes.
I had 10 singing lessons. I had 10 singing lessons when I was 24. And the teacher, after a while, told me, "You are by far the worst student I've ever had." So I don't think it's good for anybody if I'm gonna start singing.
I love to sing under the shower, and my brother at some point prohibited it because he said it was embarrassing.
For him or for you?
It's like, when other people are on, please don't sing. It's so embarrassing.
Oh, no. But if it makes you feel comfortable, we can make some rain sounds.
Yeah.
I mean, you need to start. You need to give us 5 seconds. 5 seconds.
Okay. But actually, the song that I was going to propose doesn't really contain any singing. It does contain a German guy talking English.
So you can speak English with a German accent. Nice. That's a nice workaround.
When I was 16, I wanted to make music. That's what the song starts with. It's Giorgio by Moroder, from Daft Punk. And it's a really cool sound that I'm a big Daft Punk fan. They're famous for their music, but nobody really knows who they are because they always perform with masks and helmets on. I really like their music. We actually played one of their songs at the formation of the Netherlands. Robot Rock, Volt in the Netherlands was Robot Rock. It's a song about how rock music transitions into electronic music. It's pretty strong. You only can play it if it's like super loud and then you get blown away. But this one is my favorite one. Giorgio by Moroder by Daft Punk.
You don't want to show us what it sounds like?
I already did the beginning. So
just come on, Rainer, give us a little bit of something.
Giorgio is, I can sing something else, but this song doesn't really contain singing. It's an electronic song with an interview by a guy who's like 90, and he's the one who made electronic music come to life, and he's being interviewed about how he found that new sound. And at some point he says, once you free your mind of the concept of music needing harmony and music needing to be correct, you can do anything. And then the sound stops, and then violins come in, and then violins combine with this electronic music. It's an amazing song. And I also like the idea that if you free your mind about the concept of what we're doing in how we organize societies within nation states, then all of a sudden the possibilities are endless. So it also has a good reference to Volt, but it just doesn't contain singing, so I cannot sing it.
That's actually so sad. Karam and I tried to get you guys to sing. We spoke about this beforehand, and we just wanted to get you guys singing on the podcast, but it didn't work. Rainer, you ruined it.
Well, I wish I would have been so smart to pick a song that doesn't contain any lyrics.
Yeah, so what was your song actually, Valerie?
Yeah, so my song is, it's much less deep. It doesn't have any meaning. It's actually pretty bad. It's pretty bad that I have to sing the lyrics because I'm not sure they're very appropriate. But so I'm a bit of a, in Germany would say Morgenmuffel. I don't like getting up early. But when I have to and I need to like start the day properly, then you would catch me kind of dancing around with this song and coffee, which is Kim Carnes' Betty Davis Eyes.
Hey, you're not allowed to choose that one. Actually, unfortunately, I absolutely love this song, but Joachim Wilke had chosen it.
Yeah.
Joachim Wilke had chosen it, and so it's already in the playlist.
But he didn't sing it, no? So
you get the priority, and Joe has to bring in another song into the playlist.
Yeah, I think it would be Joe who would to really budge there.
So yes, Valerie, you can still sing it if you want, but you have to choose another song. I'm sorry.
Okay. Well, now I need another second. Just like Heaven from The Cure.
Nice. Excellent choice.
Okay, Eileen, can you please give me a beat? It really doesn't work with this song.
I was gonna get up for a call, but then I gotta.
It's a hard rock song. Okay. Show me how you do that trick. The one that makes me scream, she said. The one that makes me laugh, she said. And threw her arms around my neck.
Yay!
Nice. Good job, Valerie. Nice. Really, really nice.
Finally, someone that actually got around to singing something. Great.
The out jingle.
We should establish this, actually. We should make every person, we should surprise every person by making them...
make everyone uncomfortable.
Exactly. And it's actually a really good way to see who listens to the podcast and who doesn't, right?
Ooh. Testing guests.
Okay, let's wrap it up. Thank you very much for your song choices. Now, that was it for today. Thank you, Rainier and Valerie, for your participation. And thank you to anyone who listened. We really hope you enjoyed this episode and look forward to the next one.
Don't forget that you can find us on YouTube, Spotify, Google Podcast, and Apple Podcast. You can check out the Calling Europe song playlist on Spotify. And if you want to learn more about Volt Europa, just visit volteuropa.org or join your local city team.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Thank you, Ali. That was super fun. Bye.
Thank you, and bye-bye. Bye, everybody.
Patrick, the one that makes me scream, she said. The one that makes me laugh.
That was
Calling Europe, a production of Volt Europa.